Dear ones, for this evening's meditation, let's turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and read from chapter number 5, beginning with verse 11 to the end. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. Ljubazno želim da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz druge poslanice Korinčanima, peta glava, početak od 11. broj. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear ones, the reading that we have before us conveys a verse or a thought in a verse that I believe we could all get much from. Many verses here that we have read, but it talks about being a new creature. Verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If we consider our profession, we are Christians. And with that, we are claiming that we are in Him. And to be in Christ, it tells us that to be in Christ, He is a new creature. So in other words, being in Christ creates a new creature. You can't become a new creature unless you have been in Christ. So coming into Him, we are a new creature. And Paul doesn't say that this is what we ought to do, this is what we ought to be. He says, if any man be in Christ, if you claim to be in Him, then you are a new man. Everything that is old is passed away. Everything has become new. Not just the outward man, not just the facade, not just the show, but everything becomes new. And in becoming new, dear ones, everything, our thoughts and the way we conduct ourselves, the way we act towards one another and towards those who are from without, we are showing ourselves as being in Him. And in the first few verses that we did not read, he's speaking really of a judgment that is coming, that that we will all appear before a judgment seat of Christ. And so he says, therefore, since we know these things, we know the terror of the Lord, he says, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. And then he speaks here, he says, for we commend not ourselves again to you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf. So it almost would sound like Paul here is being a boastful about who he is. Look at me and so on. And that's, we know that's not Paul at all. What Paul is saying here is there are those who have come in who are who glory in appearance, in the outward man, and not in the heart. And he says, I will give you, as looking upon him, as he says here, we commend ourselves, commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer to them which glory in appearance and not in heart. He says, for whether we be beside ourselves, they're claiming that Paul is mad, that he's gone mad. He said, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. And we know that even the governor told Paul that you have gone mad yourself. He says, for what is this? What is it that is driving Paul? Paul, we know, could have been and had whatever he had aspired to become, he could have been and had become already. In the law, in government, in everything, he could have excelled and been far. He could have attained to anything that he really sought after. But it says here, what is it that is actually driving him, that is motivating him, that is moving him? And this madness that they're claiming that he has become. He said it's the love of Christ. It is love that is moving him in the direction which he is moving. The love of Christ. And being, dear ones, as he says here, wherefore henceforth knew we no man after the flesh, yea, though we had known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. It almost would be to seem to be here that Paul may have actually known Christ, literally seeing him, and it's very conceivable that he could have seen him. They were alive at the same time. They were in Jerusalem and so on. But he makes the claim here that if you claim to be in Christ, or he makes the statement here that if you claim to be in Christ, you are a new creature. And there was, and that is really, I think, what we can really dwell on here in our own thoughts and in our own minds. We are in Christ, right? All of us who have been born again, we say we are in him. Are we a new creature? Has everything become old? Everything become new? Has all the old things passed away? You know, when something is new, we would be, if we purchase a new vehicle and there was an old interior in there, we wouldn't be happy, because we know we don't have a new car now. It's not new. There's something old. And so if we are in Christ, we are a new creature. Everything old has to pass away, meaning it is gone. Everything that is about me, when if we are in Christ, what are we out of? We are out of ourselves. Because I am in me. And then in order to be in Christ, I have to be out of me. I have to pass away. I have to go away. The old man has to pass away, and everything now becomes new. The way in which I think and talk and everything that I do shows Christ. He says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So Paul is saying that he has been reconciled unto Christ. And now he has been given the ministry, as you have been, and I have been. We've been given the ministry of this reconciliation, that we are now also to reconcile others unto Christ, even as Christ hath reconciled us unto himself, that we also now have this ministry of reconciliation. He says, and the only way that we can do that, dear ones, is to be in him. Christ is the first that spoke of this. And Paul, throughout all his epistles, he speaks of being in Christ probably 100 times. It's on and on, this theme of being in him. Paul stresses in all of his epistles. And it is Christ himself who spoke of being in the vine. It is Christ himself who first brought out that thought that being in him, we bring forth fruit. And we bring forth fruit that is pleasing unto him. And when we consider who he is, and being in him, Jesus tells us often, and we see that he wants to lead us. He wants us to follow him. Because being in him, dear ones, we are now safe from the world. We are safe from the world's temptations. We are safe from myself. I am safe from myself when I am in him. And being in him, dear ones, we have now been elevated into heavenly living. Heavenly, no more earthly, no more bound to this earth, because we rise above all these things being in him. And we have to love him. And in Proverbs, the writer tells us, buy the truth. Buy the truth, sell it not. Don't sell the truth. Who is the truth? It's Christ himself. And how do we sell the truth? Anything that is Christ-like, that we let go of, we have sold it. And what did we sell it for? A moment, a moment. So we don't even receive anything but a moment of self-glory, self-righteousness, self-anything that is. We sell Christ, who is truth, for a moment of pleasure, a moment of whatever it is that we have given up truth for that moment. But it tells us to buy it. And that is at all costs. That means we have to give of we have to die, sell, and we have to buy this truth through the giving of ourselves completely. When we give our hearts to him, we receive the truth. We receive Christ. And so, dear ones, the only way we can buy the truth, because it comes without price. Christ says it comes without price. We give our heart to him. And in giving our heart to him, we receive him. And we are never to let him go. It talks about, Paul talks here about glorying in appearance, and we know that when David was to become a king, that Samuel, the sons of Jesse were brought forth, and from the oldest and on down, and the oldest son impressed Samuel big time, but he didn't impress God, because God looks at the heart. And dear ones, if we are in Christ, we ought to also do the same. But how often do we find ourselves falling into the old trappings that Samuel himself fell into, being impressed by something, someone, a status, a stature of someone, and you're impressed by that, and we don't look at the heart at all. And yet, when David came, the brothers laughed at him and said, get away from here. What are you doing here? And yet he was to be the new king. Because God looked at his heart. And so when God looks at our heart, we know what he sees. What does he see? A claim, well, at least I love the Lord. I know I love the Lord. What does he see? He knows the heart. He knows the heart. Our life is a book. There's chapters, there's pages and chapters that are being written. Every moment of our life is being written, is being recorded, written. Thoughts, everything is just, it's being completely documented in God himself, knowing everything about us. And we say that we are in him, and that we know him, and that we love him. And how easily, dear ones, all of us dismiss our failings. And yet Paul here speaks of to be an ambassador, to be one who represents the king. Are we going to be representative of the king and who we represent him to would look at us and say, how can you represent Christ and look at how you live? Look at how you talk. So when we mention the name of Christ, that's why we are to depart from sin. If we're going to mention Christ, if we're going to be his ambassadors, if we're going to call others to reconciliation, or if we're going to speak of us being as ambassador or being in him, we are to depart from sin. He reconciles us unto himself. We know that Adam and Eve, when they sinned, did they go running to God? Did they go running to Christ? No. They heard him and they ran away from him. And that's what we do. We run away from him. And we find him in the garden calling out their name. He's calling the one who sinned, the one who didn't believe him, the one who loved Satan more than him, the very creator. He was loved less than Satan, the deceiver, the liar. And yet he's following, calling out for them, calling them, reconciling them back unto himself. That's what he does with us too. We find that reconciliation in the prodigal son, the one who had no place anymore in the father's house, none. He took his inheritance. He can't even bring it back and say, here it is back. He's wasted it all, everything. And yet, when we see him coming back, we see the father running to meet him. And we see the elder son. The same problem, a matter of the heart. No, he didn't waste all his substance on harlots that the prodigal did. He didn't waste everything. He had the appearance. He didn't have these torn rags that the prodigal son had that he was coming home in. But his heart, self-righteous. Because when he spoke, he talked about me. I didn't do that. I didn't do this. I didn't do this. Self-righteous. Where's my fatted calf? What about me? So we see in his me, he's just as far away from the Father. And the Father is calling him, come, come. Be reconciled. Come in. And we see him standing outside. The self-righteous one. The one that didn't do anything wrong. The one who had all of the trappings of religion all about him. Perfect. And yet, he couldn't understand the love of a father. The love of Christ constraineth us. Does the love of Christ move me? You know, we are supposed to now see, as it says here, every person that we are now to come across, we are to look at that person as one whom Christ has died for. They're no longer being in Christ. That's how we see others. We don't see them as rank and file, as no good, worthless. Oh, educated, worth something. Everyone is one whom God has died for. Christ has died for. Christ, we see him here reconciling, not imputing trespasses unto them. And it says that as he was reconciling the world unto himself, so God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. It wasn't just Christ doing it. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And we've been given now this ministry, dear ones. But we will fail, and we do fail, if we have not been born as a new man, as it tells us here, being a new creature. Everything is to pass away, and everything is to become new. It says, Peter says, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What manner of persons ought we to be in all conversation and godliness? Everything. And so, dear ones, in our conversations and the things that we do and how we walk, and can we claim that we are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ? Will we be able to say, as Paul did, to give others an occasion to glory on our behalf? Or when we speak of Christ, are we going to hold back a moment that could be lost? We cannot reconcile. We cannot preach this reconciliation to someone because of, I know it doesn't fit with my life. And it doesn't fit. And so I have to be quiet. How am I an ambassador who goes to represent a king and I have to stay quiet because of my life is in defiance of this godliness and holy conversations that we ought to be in? That it doesn't show a new creature. And we would like to say that it shows many aspects of a new creature. And then we often just take that old part that is still hanging around as, I'm still working on that. Still working on it. Dear ones, we will come to that perfectness that we are called to. It is a life of living that will bring us to that. But dear ones, when we recognize and know that there are things in my life that would make me not claim verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That there's anything in my life, and you know, when we think about that, we can answer that the best for ourselves. Let's not look at someone else to answer it for them, but rather just for ourselves. Is everything about me new? Did everything pass away? Everything old, is it all gone? Everything. My love for possessions, my love for fame, my love for what about me? I, as the elder son said, I didn't do this. I didn't do this. What about me? And we talk about ourselves, dear ones, we can only do that because we don't have Christ. If we have Christ, we would never speak about ourselves. If we are in Christ, we would never do that. We couldn't. Because being in Him, we've been elevated. There's a new power that is working in us, a new might. And the law has no more dominion over us. It's like a jet engine when it takes off, it roars, and the thrust that it creates, the force, the gravity no longer has a hold on it. It's converted into thrust, and the power of those engines lift it, and the gravity cannot hold it. It has no more power over it. And so, dear ones, in Christ, we are no longer held down. If we are, we can't. How are we in Him? How are we in Him? How am I in Him if every day I'm just always, always failing? And I know very well how I can write off my failings. I can blame. I can blame circumstances of my life. I can blame my upbringing. I can blame, you know, we can find anything we want to blame anything on. Or we can die. That's the reconciliation. We can die to those things. And Christ, who knew no sin, He became that substitute. He was the sin offering and He was the burnt offering. He was both. And so, dear ones, as He became sin who knew no sin, so we become righteousness when we are in Him. If we are not in Him, what are we? If God cannot look at us and see His Son, He sees us. And we are vile before a holy God. So, as Christ took our sin, He gives us His righteousness. And we've been elevated to a new plane, far above this earth, in all of its trappings, everywhere. Everywhere we turn and look, we see it. We see the evil one will seek a manner in which to deceive. He deceives us and he robs us of everything that is in Him, in Christ. We might say, well, he doesn't rob me of everything. He robs us of everything. Our joys in Christ are taken away. The fear of death envelops us. Fears take hold. Who should never have fear of any kind? Life is just a time that we go through to get to an eternity with which we yearn for. That's what being in Christ is. And if we aren't in that, then, dear ones, we're holding on to ourselves. The elder son is, and I know we talk about the prodigal son so much, what he did and so on, but it's the elder son that scares me, because he did everything that he was supposed to do, and yet his heart was evil. Evil. Not somewhat good. It was evil. Because someone in Christ can never talk about my right. What about me? When it's about me, it's not about Christ. And in doing that, dear ones, we show ourselves. And let's just look at our day today. Let's look at it this past week, and let's go back as far back as we can and want. Where are we? In everything that we do, what is our focus? We had a Bible study last Friday, and a thought was brought out that when we forgive someone, okay, we have to understand that if I trespass against you, that you are to lead me, this reconciliation, you have the ministry of reconciliation, you are to bring me to repentance. And in doing so, you are to forgive me. And when you forgive me, dear ones, it ends right there. You take the loss. You take a loss. And so and that's what Christ speaks of with Sermon on the Mount so much. When someone wants to use you, let him. You suffered the law, but it stopped right there. You're no longer saying, hey, you owe me. Hey, you this. Hey, you this. No, it stops, right? It's over. You suffered a loss. And you take that which was evil and you convert it. It's over. It's done. That's what Christ did with our sins upon the cross. He took our evil and he converted it. And in his forgiveness, he forgave us. And he made us now to be as righteousness of God in him. And so, dear ones, we can't do this when our focus is on ourselves. We can't do any of that. We can't forgive properly. We can't. There's nothing that we can do that is right. We say, well, you know, something has to be right. No, nothing is right. Because Christ says, what good is it if you save the whole world and lose your own soul? What good it was for that elder son to never take his, you know, we would still say, well, still the elder son was better because he didn't go and waste it on harlots and riotous living. Why is it better? Morally, maybe it was better. But on the day of judgment, his heart wasn't right. His heart wasn't right. But it comforts us. It brings us some level of comfort when there's moral around us or we're being moral or something like that. There's a certain comfort about it. And that's Satan deceiving us. To be in Christ is godliness, holy conversation. Far above the world. Far above myself. In the heavenlies with Christ. It's a new thought. It's a new life. It's now when I see you rejoicing, my heart leaps with joy. It leaps with joy. When I see you sorrowing, I sorrow with you. Why? I'm in Christ. But if my heart doesn't leap with joy when you are rejoicing, I have a problem. I can have all the trappings of religion all around me. But if my heart isn't rejoicing with you, I am not in Christ. I don't know him. I have sold the truth. I sold it for something. What do we sell the truth for? What is it? It's not lasting. It's for that moment. And so, dear ones, being a new creature, as we claim to be, let's not so easily just claim that we are. But let's consider the words that were given to us by the Holy Spirit through the blessed apostles and servants of God, who had Paul's only goal was to preach Christ, to know him and to preach him. That's it. That's it. That I might know him and that he might preach him. That's it. Are there any goals in our life that will take a little bit away from my ability to preach him or my ability to know him? Because if I'm not going to know him when I know myself, when I serve myself, I can't know him. So whenever, is there anything in my life that I'm serving myself, and in doing so, I'm robbing myself of knowing him, and not knowing him, then I can't really even preach him. How can I preach him when I don't know him? So, dear ones, as the Apostle Paul has written these words of if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If you claim to be in him, you are new. Not theoretically, but the inner man is born again. Yes, we still have this vile body. That will be transformed. We'll receive a glorious body. But the inner man has been born again. He's a new creature. All the old things. Behold, all things. The old things are passed away. What am I holding on to that is robbing me of the blessings in Christ? May God, in those moments as we think of this, as we ponder on it, may he reveal himself to us and empower us. He will, if we simply yield to him. Amen.
A clear message from the Word of God this evening, our of having a heart that is right with God. Not the exterior so much, but the heart that is right with God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That new creature that begins from within and it emanates out. And that was the message that was clear in this evening hour. That was made clear in the examples that were given. A new vehicle with an old interior is unacceptable. The sons of Jesse, it wasn't the strong and oldest son, it was the young and ruddy son of David. And the elder son of the story of the prodigal had a heart that wasn't right. So it's a matter of the heart that God is speaking to us in this evening hour. How does that then come within us, and how do we live in this new way that the Word of God is calling us to? If we go back to the previous chapter, there's a verse here that says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined into our hearts." It's God's light that shines into our hearts that we can be a new creature and shine forth that light. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Such a beautiful verse. We can have the light of God emanate from us, and that would be to God's glory, to his honor, because it's about building his kingdom and glorifying him. And so he shines his light in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. May that be our prayer, is that as we walk as new creatures of Jesus Christ, that we would be clean from within and have his light emanating forth from us. Amen.